At Federal Immigration Court in Boston, you get a glimpse of a system where split-second decisions can have life-altering consequences. The most sensitive of the cases before the court involve what are known as vulnerable immigrants, including those with mental illness. There's a national push to strengthen protections for immigrants with mental illness in deportation cases, but as WBUR's Shannon Dooling reports, in Boston's immigration court, they're still waiting.
Entonces, esta es copia de tu noticia. Esta es la original, pero estaremos en contacto antes de eso, okay?
Sitting in a small, shared office space at the Boston University Immigrants' Rights Clinic, Sarah Sherman Stokes instructs a young client from El Salvador about his next appointment in immigration court. His is one of the nearly 13,000 pending deportation cases in Boston.
¿Tiene alguna pregunta o duda?
Bueno,
avisarme con cualquier preocupación o pregunta que tengas.
Claro que sí.
Okay.
After saying he has no questions, he leaves the office with a notice in his pocket for a court date 4 months out. For people in the immigration court system, hope and anguish can be measured in backlogs and daily dockets. And as Sherman Stokes says, many of the cases involve high stakes.
People are facing really life or death situations, and many of them don't have counsel, don't speak the language, and are completely unable to navigate the really complex system of immigration law on their own.
The daily caseloads of each judge in Boston can vary, but with one of the top 10 largest pending deportation backlogs in the country, there's a responsibility to push through the cases quickly. Eliza Klein is a retired immigration judge with more than 20 years of experience on the bench, including 15 years here in Boston. She describes the volume weighing down the docket for immigrants detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Sometimes judges have 15 cases in a three-hour period, and sometimes they have 25 cases, and sometimes even more. So you don't have at the outset the amount of time that you really need to spend with each person.
The rapid pace of a proceeding can be dizzying for a non-native speaker. Now, imagine that same person has a mental health issue.
You know, when I first met with him and worked with him a little bit, I realized that he wasn't really understanding what I was asking of him.
Alex Pareto Carroll is a Boston-based immigration attorney. She recently represented a Honduran man who she believes lacked the comprehension skills to fully understand his deportation case. Pareto Carroll's client was before a judge after being apprehended by immigration officials for a second time.
We felt that there was definitely a cognitive issue with him. Again, it was never diagnosed, but his inability to be able to tell his story, you know, certainly affected his case.
Pareto Carroll says she tried to get a pro bono mental evaluation in the small window of time she had. She couldn't.
The client really was unable to tell his story in a way that would have helped him. I think the facts actually were on his side.
Sitting immigration judges are not authorized to comment on cases. Pareto Carroll says she believes the judge did conduct a fair hearing, but ultimately found no signs of mental incompetence. Her client was deported back to Honduras, where Pareto Carroll says he fears for his safety.
I think that if he had been able to answer questions differently and understood the process that he was in, when somebody doesn't understand the process that they're in, they cannot help themselves.
Pareto Carroll's client had more help than many in the immigration court system. He had a lawyer. Unlike in criminal court, the government has no obligation to provide lawyers for people in deportation cases. This means that individuals often represent themselves, explaining their own story, providing evidence, and cross-examining witnesses. So, in the absence of a lawyer, the immigration judge uses his or her observation of an individual to determine whether someone is mentally capable of fully participating in their own proceeding.
The burden of having to do that in an adversarial system where the patient is then terrified and the judge is trying to do their best is, you know, the burden is quite substantial.
Dr. Daya Kalavailil is a psychologist at Cambridge Health Alliance, where she works at the Victims of Violence Program. She's evaluated individuals in deportation cases. She says that even in a controlled psychiatric setting, it can be challenging to gauge someone's mental competency, let alone in a busy courtroom.
So I think to some degree the mental illness just doesn't lend itself to a quick result.
But quick results are often sought in a system strapped for time and resources. Some immigration judges say the ability to ensure an individual's mental health can be compromised by the pressure to churn through cases. A 2007 survey from the National Association of Immigration Judges found complaints about workload and time constraints to be one of the most commonly cited causes for stress and burnout among judges. Again, retired immigration judge Eliza Klein.
I know that there are people who fall through the cracks because sometimes judges don't pick up on people's inability to actually understand what's happening. There aren't the resources to appoint evaluators, and there is not the resource to assign an attorney to represent somebody.
5 years ago, the U.S. Immigration Court's appellate body recognized more needed to be done to protect the mentally incompetent in deportation cases. It handed down guidelines to help judges conduct fair hearings, instructing a judge to watch out for certain behaviors. In 2013, the court's governing body announced additional safeguards for unrepresented detainees, like government-paid counsel and psychological testing. So far, these safeguards are only available in a few states. As BU clinical teaching fellow Sherman Stokes says, the nationwide rollout has largely been on paper.
Unfortunately, those new procedural protections have not been implemented in most courts across the country. They certainly have not been implemented here in Boston.
The immigration court system is an extremely challenged tribunal. I often say that we conduct death penalty cases in a traffic court setting.
Dana Lee Marks is an immigration judge in San Francisco and the president of the National Association of Immigration Judges. Judge Marks says that the immigration courts simply don't have the resources they need to keep up with the caseloads in a system mired in complicated legal matters.
We do receive training. We try to be alert to issues which may be red flags for deeper mental health conditions which are affecting someone, but it's obviously a very difficult context in which to try to make that determination.
No one from the U.S. Immigration Court's governing body would go on tape, but Catherine Mattingly, a spokeswoman for the court, told WBUR in an email that it continues to expand the availability of judge training, as well as legal representation and psychological evaluations. But Mattingly confirmed that the safeguards for unrepresented immigration detainees with serious mental disorders have not yet been implemented in Massachusetts. Given the workflow of the immigration court, Judge Marks says the system is, in some ways, handicapped at its core.
In a system that handles as many people as ours does, with the speed in which our system handles these cases, it would seem unavoidable that certain nuances at time are going to be missed.
And in immigration court, some fear that a nuance can mean the difference between deportation and reprieve. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Shannon Dooling.